The woman brought us to a little room where Mommy was. She was lying on a bed with a white blanket over her, and her face was also white like the blanket. The bag with the water was hanging on a metal stand, and the plastic string was stuck on Mommy's arm with a big band-aid. Mommy's eyes were closed, and her head was turned away from us. She looked like she was a fake doll, not a real person. And I got a scared feeling. Daddy went over to Mommy's bed and touched her face. Mommy didn't move at all. She didn't move her head, and she didn't open her eyes. There were two chairs next to the bed, and we sat down on them. The woman said the doctor was going to be with us soon, and she pulled a curtain in front of the door when she left. We waited, and I watched the water drops dripping from the bag into the string, and then down into Mommy's arm. They looked like raindrops or teardrops dripping down, and it was like the bag was giving Mommy all the teardrops back she cried out earlier. Now only the bag was crying. Daddy's phone started to ring in his pocket, but he didn't take it out to answer it. Usually, Daddy always answers his phone, because it could be work. He let it ring until it stopped. And after a little while, the ringing started again. Daddy stared at his hands, and they were the only things moving on him. First, his left hand pulled all the fingers on his right hand, and then the right hand pulled all the fingers on his left hand, and they kept taking turns. I started copying Daddy, and pulled my fingers at the same time as him. I had to pay attention to do it at the same time, and that made me stop thinking about Mommy lying in the bed like a fake doll. Daddy was making a pattern, so I knew what came next, and that helped. I wanted to sit here with Daddy and pull fingers for a long time. But then the curtain got pushed to the side, and a doctor came in and started talking to Daddy, and we stopped our finger patterns. "My sincere condolences," the doctor said to Daddy. Daddy only blinked with his eyes a few times, but didn't say anything back. So the doctor kept talking. "Your wife is in shock. We had to sedate her, and we'll keep her overnight. As soon as things settle down in here, we will find her a room for the night. She's heavily sedated, and I doubt she will wake up at all tonight. I think the best thing would be to regroup in the morning and assess her situation. Why don't you go home and try to get some rest?" Daddy still didn't talk, he just looked at the doctor. Maybe he didn't understand what he said. Then he looked back down at his hands like he was surprised they were holding still now. "Sir, do you have someone who can take you home?" the doctor said, and that woke Daddy up, and he said, "No, we will go. I don't need anyone to take us." The curtain got pushed open again, and Mimi was standing there like frozen, holding on to the curtain. She stared at Daddy for a long time, with really big eyes. And then she moved her stare to me, and then to Mommy, lying on the bed like a fake doll. Mimi's face started to crumple up like a piece of paper. She opened her mouth like she was going to say something, but only a quiet, "Oh," sound came out. She took a step toward Daddy, and Daddy got up like in slow motion. Maybe his body felt heavy, too. Mimi and Daddy hugged each other tight, and Mimi was making loud crying sounds into Daddy's jacket. The doctor and the nurse were standing next to them, and both of them were staring at their shoes. They had on the hospital kind, like green Crocs. After a while, Mimi and Daddy got done hugging. Mimi was still crying, and she came over to me and put her arms around me. She pulled me close to her belly. It felt smushy and nice and warm, and my throat got a tight feeling inside. Mimi kissed the top of my head and whispered into my hair, "My sweet, sweet Zack. My poor, sweet little boy." Then she let go of me. I didn't want her to. I wanted to stay there, hugging her, and feel warm and smell her sweater that smelled like fresh laundry. But Mimi turned away from me and toward Mommy. She pushed some hair from Mommy's face with her hand. "I will stay with her tonight, Jim," Mimi said in a quiet voice, and tears were just running, running down her face. Daddy made a sound in his throat, and then he said, "Okay. Thank you, Roberta." He took my hand and said, "Let's get you home, Zack." But I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go home without Mommy. So I grabbed the side of Mommy's bed. "No!" I said. My voice came out loud, and it surprised me. "No! I want Mommy! I want to stay here with Mommy. My voice sounded like a baby voice, but I didn't care. Please don't do this, Zach. Please, Daddy said, sounding very tired. Please, let's just go home. Mommy is okay. She just needs to sleep. Mimi will stay here and take care of her. I will, honey. I promise. I'll be here with Mommy, Mimi said. I want to stay here too, I said with the loud voice again. We will come see her tomorrow, I promise. Please stop shouting, Daddy said. But she has to say goodnight to me. We have to sing our song. Every night at bedtime, me and Mommy sing a song. And it's always the same. It's our tradition. And it's the song that Mimi made up when Mommy was a baby. And then Mommy started singing it to me and Andy when we were babies. The song sounds like the Brother John song, but with our own words made up. You change the name in it for who you are singing it to. For me, Mommy sings it like this. Zachary Taylor, Zachary Taylor, I love you, I love you. You are my handsome buddy, and I'll love you always. Yes, I do, yes, I do. Sometimes Mommy changes up the words and sings it like this. You are my smelly buddy, but I love you anyway. And it's really funny, but in the end, she always has to sing it the regular way so I can go to sleep. Now she was going to stay here in the hospital and not be at home with me for bedtime. Just, okay, do you want to sing it now then? Daddy asked, and the way he said it sounded like it was going to be a stupid thing to do. I shook my head yes, but then I didn't want to sing with Daddy and Mimi and the doctor and the nurse all looking at me, so I only kept holding on to Mommy's bed until Daddy came over and forced me to let go. Daddy picked me up and carried me back through the big room and the hallway, out the door to the waiting room and back out through the slidey doors into the rain. He carried me all the way to his car that was a long way from the hospital, but parked in a real spot so it didn't get towed. I wondered if Mommy's car got towed and how she was going to get home without her car. Daddy opened the car door and at the same time, we both saw Andy's sweater on the back seat. It was the sweater he had on at lacrosse practice last night, and he took it off after we got in the car. Daddy picked it up and sat down in the driver's seat. Then he put his face in Andy's sweater, and for a long time he sat there like that. It looked like his whole body was shaking and crying, and he made little rocking moves forward and backward, but no sounds. I sat very still in my seat in the back and watched the raindrops on the sunroof, the sky crying on top of the car. After a while, Daddy put the sweater down on his lap and wiped his face with his hand. Then he turned around to me. We need to be strong now, Zach, you and me. We need to be strong for Mommy, okay? Okay, I said, and then we drove home through the sky tears, just me and Daddy. 8. The last normal Tuesday. Daddy walked around the house with me right behind him, and my socks made wet footprints on the floor. Daddy turned on all the lights in all the rooms, and that was the opposite of what he does on other days, which is turn all the lights off all the time, because lights use up electricity, and electricity costs a lot of money. I'm hungry, I said, and Daddy said, right. We went in the kitchen, but then Daddy just stood there and looked around like he was in someone else's kitchen, and he didn't know where stuff was. I heard his phone ringing again in his pocket, but he didn't take it out to answer it again. He opened up the fridge and looked inside for a while, and then he took out the milk. Cereal okay? Sure, I said, because with Mommy I'm never allowed to have cereal for dinner. We sat down on the bar stools at the counter and ate Honey Bunches. That's my favorite cereal. I looked at the family calendar on the wall next to me. It's Mommy's big calendar, and everyone in the family has a row with their name on the left and all the things we have on the days of the week next to the names. So that way, Mommy can look at it in the morning and remember everything we have that day. My row on the calendar doesn't have a lot on it. Only piano for today, Wednesday, and lacrosse for Saturday. I wondered if Mr. Bernard still came to the house today at 4:30 for my lesson, but no one opened the door for him because we stayed at the hospital the whole day. Andy's row has something almost every day. He gets to do a lot more things because he's older, and also it's better when he's busy with activities. For yesterday, Tuesday, it said lacrosse for Andy, and that was only one day ago. But it felt like a long time ago, maybe a month. Yesterday we did all the things we do every Tuesday, because we didn't know that today a gunman was going to come. Sometimes on Tuesdays, Daddy comes home early so he can go to Andy's lacrosse practice. He works in New York City, where we used to live when I was little, but then we moved to this house because there's more space here, and New York City is not a safe place for kids to live, Mommy says. And here we could have a whole house, not just an apartment. Daddy's office is in the MetLife building, and that's really cool because it's a building on top of a train station. He made partner at his firm last year, and we had a party to celebrate. But I don't think it's such a great thing for celebrating, because now Daddy is always working until late. So on school days, I don't even see him. Only on weekends. He always leaves before I wake up in the morning, and I have to go to bed before he comes back home. And he gets to stay up longer than me, because he's 3.5 years older. So he sometimes gets to see Daddy before bed. And that's not fair. In the summer, I went with Daddy to his office one time, because Mommy had to take Andy to the doctor. I was excited to go, and I was going to be with Daddy all day, and that never happened before. And also, Daddy told me about the cool new office he got that has all windows on two sides, and you can see the Empire State Building from it. I couldn't wait to see it, and I even brought my bird-watching binoculars to see all the way downtown with them. But then I didn't get to be with Daddy very much inside his new office, because he went to a lot of meetings where I couldn't come. I had to stay with Angela most of the time. Angela is Daddy's assistant, and she's nice. She took me to Grand Central for lunch. That's the name of the train station under Daddy's office, and there's a bunch of restaurants all the way in the basement. Angela let me have Shake Shack, and I even got a chocolate milkshake, and that's not a healthy lunch. Milkshakes are my favorite drink. I always dip my French fries in them. Uncle Chip taught me to do that, and everyone thinks it's disgusting. But me and Uncle Chip love it. Now I still always do it, and it makes me think about Uncle Chip. Andy has lacrosse practice on every Tuesday and Friday, and then games on the weekends, and the whole family has to go to show our support. He's really good at lacrosse, like all the sports, and he scores a lot of goals at the games. Daddy says Andy's probably good enough to play in college, like him when he went to college. He talks about that a lot, and he still has a record at his college for most goals in one game. And no one has broken it yet, even though that was a long time ago that Daddy made that record. But Daddy says Andy isn't trying hard enough to get better, and he should be working on his stick skills more. Andy gets mad and says it's a stupid sport anyway, and maybe he's only going to play soccer next year and no lacrosse. I started lacrosse this year, too. It starts in first grade. But I only had 3 clinics so far, and the whole family did not come to show their support. Because Andy's games are at the same time, so Daddy takes him and Mommy takes me. I don't think I'm going to be very good at lacrosse. It's hard to hold the stick and scoop up the ball. I don't even like it. The other boys bump into me too hard, and I hate putting the helmet over my head. It's too tight. On the last normal Tuesday, Daddy came walking in, and I was waiting for him by the front door. But he was still on a phone call, so I wasn't allowed to say hi to him yet. He put a finger up on his mouth to say shush, and he went upstairs to change from his suit to his game clothes. He always does that. I don't know why. Because Andy was playing, not him. I waited in the hallway for him to come back down because there was fighting in the kitchen. The fighting was between Mommy and Andy, and it was about homework. Andy wasn't doing it again, and it all has to be finished before practice because we come home really late, at 9 almost, 1 hour after my bedtime. I did my homework already right after I got off the bus. When I was sitting next to Daddy on the bar stool, eating my honey bunches, I thought about the fighting yesterday. How Mommy yelled at Andy and how the fighting got worse because of Daddy after he came downstairs from changing his clothes. And I thought about how we didn't know then that it was going to be the last normal day. Or maybe we would have tried not to have all the same fighting that we always have. I looked over to Daddy and wondered if he was thinking about the fighting too. He was putting cereal in his mouth, one spoonful after the next, and he didn't even chew, only swallowed. He looked like a robot, one that was moving too slow because it was running out of batteries. Daddy? Hmm? Daddy turned his slow robot head and looked at me. Daddy, where's Andy? Daddy looked at me funny and said, Zack, Andy is dead. Remember? No, I know he's dead, but where is he right now? Oh, I'm not sure, bud. I wasn't allowed to... go see him. Daddy's voice got different when he said the last words. He looked down fast and stared at his honey bunches floating in the milk. And he didn't blink for a long time. Is he still at the school? I asked, and I thought about the people lying in the hallway with blood around them, and that one of them was Andy. Was he dead then already? When I walked down the hallway to the back door? And when I was hiding in the closet with Miss Russell in my class, was he already dead? I thought about how it must have hurt badly to get killed with bullets from a gun, and Andy was probably really scared when he saw that the gunman was about to shoot him. Where did the gunman shoot him? I meant where on his body, but Daddy said, in the auditorium, I think. His class was in the auditorium when it happened. Oh, yeah, I said. Today the fourth and fifth graders got to see the snakes. Huh? What snakes? I remember that I never got to tell Daddy about the emerald tree boa yesterday. Last night I waited in the hallway for Daddy to come down from changing his clothes because I wanted to tell him that I touched a real live snake at school. I really did. It was long and bright green with white marks on it, called an emerald tree boa, and all the kids were scared of it except me. We had an assembly and this guy came in with different kinds of snakes and birds and a ferret. And he told us snake facts. It was so cool. I love snakes. I wish I could have one in a terrarium like my friend Spencer, but Mommy hates them, and she thinks they're dangerous. I told her not all of them are, and she said, Well, you don't know that, though, until they bite you, do you? And then it could be too late. So when the guy asked if someone wanted to touch the boa, I raised my hand fast, and he picked me to come to the front and pet it. It was wrapped around his arm, like it would be around a tree branch waiting for its prey, he told me. The boa's skin was dry and had hard scales, and it wasn't slimy like I thought. The guy told us lots of facts about the emerald tree boa. Emerald is a green color, the color of the snake. The snake doesn't have any venom, but it wraps its body around its prey and squeezes it so tight that the prey can't breathe and dies. But when Daddy came down and I tried to tell him, he heard Mommy and Andy's fighting and said, Hold on, bud. Let me handle that first. Tell me later. And he went in the kitchen, and of course, right away, the fighting got worse. That's how it always is. It always starts because of Andy acting bad, and he and Mommy have a fight. When Daddy's home and gets involved, he and Mommy get into a fight, too. Jim, I was dealing with this, Mommy tells Daddy. And then everyone is mad at everyone. Except me, because I'm not part of the fighting. I followed Daddy in the kitchen and started getting napkins out and forks and knives. That's my job before dinner. Andy's job is to get plates and make our milk cups, but he wasn't doing that again tonight because he was still not done with his homework. I did it instead. Daddy sat down at the table and said he worked like a crazy person all day, and could he never come home and have dinner in peace? And by the way, the back door was open, so the neighbors could probably hear all the yelling. Mommy sat down, too, and she gave me a fake-like smile and said, Thank you for setting the table, Zack. You're such a good helper. Yeah, Zack, little suck-up, Andy said. Daddy slammed his hands on the table so that everything moved, and the milk spilled out of the cups. It made me jump because it was so loud, and then Daddy yelled at Andy, and the neighbors were definitely going to hear that. That was the last normal dinner on the last normal day, and now it was only one day later, and I was eating cereal for dinner with just Daddy, and not Mommy and Andy. That was going to be the last fight because now Andy was gone, and so there wouldn't be any more fighting without him here. I wondered if the snake guy got killed from the gunman, too. And what happened to the snakes? Maybe they were on the loose in the school now?
9. Yellow Eyeballs.
Daddy's phone started ringing again, and this time he pulled it out of his pocket and looked at it. "Jesus Christ," he said. "I have to go make some phone calls. I have to call Grandma back, and Aunt Mary, and some other people. It's really late. Let's go upstairs and get ready for bed, okay?" The clock on the microwave said 10:30, and that is very late. I only stayed up that late one time before, on July 4th. We went to see the big fireworks at the beach club, and that was the first time we went to the club for a big party, because we only got into the club this year. I love going to the club because we're allowed to go wherever we want, on the beach and by the tennis courts and cabanas, because it's safe for us everywhere. We went there a lot of days in the summer. Mommy and Daddy sit with their friends on the terrace and drink wine, and Mommy doesn't care that it's getting dark and I'm still up. A lot of Daddy's work friends are at the club, and it's important that Daddy spends time with them, and he wants me and Andy to play with their kids, so we don't have to leave early for bedtime. The fireworks on July 4th weren't starting until it was dark, and in the summer it doesn't get dark until late. We stayed to watch all the fireworks, which was really cool, because on the other side of the bay they had lots of different kinds, and we could see them all from the beach. When they were over, it was time to go. The rule was to come back to the terrace after the fireworks, but Andy didn't come, so everyone had to start looking for him. Finally, Daddy found him on the fishing dock, and Andy wasn't supposed to be there without a grown-up, because that's the only not-safe place to be in the whole beach club. There was a big fight in the car on the way home, and Daddy said how could Andy embarrass him in front of his work friends like that. I didn't go to bed until 10:30, like today. We went upstairs, and to get to my room we had to walk past Andy's room. Daddy walked by really fast, like he didn't want to look inside. "Can you please put your PJs on and get ready for bed?" Daddy said, and kept walking into his and Mommy's room. Then I could hear him talk on his phone, but I couldn't tell who he was talking to because he talked very quiet and closed the door behind him. I went in my room and everything looked exactly like this morning, but it didn't feel the same. Everything felt different without Mommy and Andy here, and also it felt like a very long time ago since I was in my room. I looked at my bed, all made nice, and I thought about how Mommy made it after we left for school this morning. She does that every day. I don't know why, because you get right back in it at night. But Mommy says that's the old type A account director in her. Today started out like a normal day, and so after we left for school on the bus, Mommy made the beds like always. Maybe it was right when the gunman was coming in the school. But Mommy was at home making the beds, and didn't even know that that was happening. I thought about how me and Andy waited in Mrs. Gray's driveway for the school bus this morning. It wasn't raining then yet. The rain started when we were at school. It was cold, though, but Andy still had shorts on. Andy always wants to wear shorts. In the morning, he and Mommy have fights about it, because Mommy says it has to be at least 60 degrees outside, or it's a no to shorts. But Andy still puts shorts on, even when it's not 60 degrees. Like today, it was 57 degrees when we left the house. I checked on the iPad. I know he had shorts on, but now I couldn't remember what color they were. I just remembered he had on a blue Giants jersey, and it really bothered me that I couldn't remember what color the shorts were. Mrs. Gray's driveway is really skinny and has rocks on the sides, so we sometimes play this game called Don't Get Eaten, where we try to jump all the way from the rocks on the one side to the rocks on the other side. We pretend that the driveway in between is water with sharks in it, so we can't touch it or we get eaten from the sharks. I asked Andy if he wanted to play Don't Get Eaten today, but he said no, he wasn't playing that baby game anymore. Andy calls everything I want to play baby games now. He just stood there and didn't say anything else and kicked the driveway rocks with his shoe over and over again. Don't Get Eaten was going to be the last thing I talked to Andy about. Only then I didn't know that. Today started out like a normal day, but now it was all changed. And Andy wasn't going to get in his bed anymore, so it would stay made nice. I have sheets with race cars on them, and they match my bed, which is a red race car with wheels. Mine and Andy's beds are different because Andy has a bunk bed. He only sleeps on the top bunk because that is far enough away from us people, he said. But the rest of our rooms are almost the same, except that we have different toys. We both have a window from where we can see the street and our driveway, and we both have a desk under the window, and on the other wall we have two white bookshelves and a reading chair. There's a bathroom in between our rooms. That's not good, because when Andy goes to the bathroom, he always locks the doors on the inside, and then he doesn't unlock them after. I always have to walk around into his room to get to the bathroom, and he yells at me to get out of his room and throws pillows at me from the top bunk. The really big difference between me and Andy about our rooms is that I really like my room, but Andy doesn't like his. He doesn't go in it very much except for sleeping and when he needs to take a time away. Andy needs to take time aways a lot when he gets his bad temper, and then he's supposed to go in his room to calm down. It's not a punishment, it's so he can learn to handle his big feelings. That's what the doctor said. His name is Dr. Byrne, and Andy has to go talk to him every week, even though he doesn't want to. He has to because of his ODD. That's the thing Andy has that makes him have the bad temper. When Andy gets his bad temper, it's scary. I got pretty good at telling when he's about to get it, and then I try to get away from him. I don't even want to look at him then, because of how it makes his face look. His whole face gets red, and his eyes get big, and he starts to yell really loud. It's hard to understand what he's even saying, because it sounds like one long word with no breaks in between, and a lot of spit comes on his lips and chin. Sometimes when Andy has to go to his room for a time away, Mommy has to stand in front of his door because Andy tries to come out, and he pulls the door from the inside and he does his loud yelling. Mommy has to pull the door from the outside to keep it closed, and it takes Andy a long time to calm down and stop pulling and yelling. Or Andy tricks Mommy and runs out through the bathroom and in my room. One time he did that, and I saw Mommy go in Andy's room. She sat down on his reading chair that's way too small for her, and she put her head on her knees, and it looked like she was crying. I got mad at Andy, because he made Mommy sad like that. I'm in my room all the time because it's quiet, and sometimes I want my own peace. I come back out when the fighting is over, so it's like I skipped it. I like to play with my cars and firehouse and trucks. I have a ton of trucks, all different kinds of construction trucks, fire trucks, tow trucks. Every night before I go to bed, I line them up straight in front of the bookshelves and say goodnight to all of them. This morning I played with my trucks for a little bit before the bus, so now they were not in a straight line, and that bothered me. I stared at them all mixed up, and I thought about how they needed to be fixed, but I didn't do it. I went over to my window instead and looked outside. It was very dark, and the street lamp in front of our house was making a round light ball in the dark air. Inside the light ball, I could see raindrops falling. All the houses on our road have a street lamp in front of them, on the grass in between the road and the sidewalk, and they were making a long row of round light balls with raindrops falling inside. They kind of looked like yellow eyeballs with lots of tears in them, and I got a feeling like they were staring at me. Creepy. I sat down on my bed. My whole self felt tired, and my feet were still very cold. I tried to take my socks off, and they were still wet a little, so pulling them off was too hard. I started to miss Mommy a lot, and I wish she was home so she could help me take my socks off and get ready for bed. I felt like I was going to cry, but I tried not to because Daddy said we had to be strong now for Mommy. I squeezed my nose hard and I picked up Clancy. That's my stuffed giraffe I got from the Bronx Zoo when I was 2. He's my favorite stuffed animal, and I always need him for bedtime. I can't go to sleep if I don't have him. After a while, Daddy came in my room. "Let's get you to bed, bud. We have to try and get some sleep. It's the best thing we can do right now. The next few days are going to be really tough, and we need our strength, okay?" Daddy pulled the race car sheets up. I got in my bed with my clothes on instead of my PJs, and that's gross because earlier I peed in my underwear, but it was dried now, and I didn't even brush my teeth. "Daddy," I asked, "can you tell me a story?" Daddy rubbed his hands over his whole face, and it made a scratching sound on his chin. He looked very tired. "Probably not tonight, bud," he said. I don't think I can think of stories. Not tonight." "Then I can tell you one tonight instead. It's going to be about the emerald tree boa I saw yesterday," I told Daddy. "It's very late, so not tonight," Daddy said, and he leaned over to give me a hug. I thought about how that was the only part of today that was the same as yesterday, that I didn't get to tell Daddy about the snakes. "I'll be down the hall, okay?" Daddy said, but then he didn't get up to go. He stayed with his arms around me tight for a long time. I felt like I wanted to sing mine and Mommy's goodnight song for Daddy. I started to sing in a very quiet voice, and it was hard to do because Daddy's one arm was on top of my chest, and it was heavy. I could feel his breath going in and out fast, right next to my ear, and it tickled, but I didn't move. I sang the whole song all the way through to the end. And I'll love you always. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. 10. Handshakes. The next morning, I woke up and I was in Mommy and Daddy's bed, and I didn't know why I was in here. It was quiet, and I could hear rain outside plopping against the window. Plop, plop, plop. And then the plop started to sound like pops. And it made me remember the gunman, and then everything from yesterday and from last night came back in my head. And then it made sense, because I never get to sleep in Mommy and Daddy's bed, only last night because I got so scared. Daddy left my room last night after I got done singing. He turned off the lights in the hallway, and Mommy always keeps the lights on because it can't be too dark in my room. It got too dark in my room. I tried to squeeze my eyes shut tight, but then it was even more dark. Right away, pictures of people with blood came in my head, and my heart started beating at super speed, and my breathing went in and out fast. I heard a sound in my room, somewhere, or in the bathroom like somebody was coming, and I started screaming very loud. I screamed, and I got up and ran in the hallway, but I couldn't see anything, and I didn't know where Daddy was, and I could feel a person coming closer behind me. He was going to get me, and I tripped and fell down. I couldn't get up, and I screamed and screamed. Then the door to Mommy and Daddy's room opened, and Daddy came running out. He turned on the hallway lights, and it was too bright in my eyes. Zack! 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 Daddy picked me up under my armpits and yelled my name in my face over and over again. He shook me, and I stopped screaming, and he stopped yelling. It got quiet except for a loud whoosh, whoosh sound in my head. I looked behind me, but no one was there. I looked in my room, and it looked like a dark black cave, and I wasn't going to sleep in there ever again by myself, and so Daddy let me sleep with him in his bed for once. Now Daddy wasn't in the bed with me anymore, so I got up to look for him. I walked down the hallway and past Andy's room, and my hands felt sweaty and my legs walked very slow. I pushed Andy's door open and walked in his room with very small steps. I didn't want to look up to his top bunk at first. I thought that maybe I had a bad dream and Andy would be there in his bed. But if the top bunk was empty, then it really happened, that Andy died, because Andy never gets up first, never before me. It's really hard for him to wake up in the mornings. Mommy says it's because of the medicine he has to take for the bad temper. Andy takes the temper medicine in the morning so he behaves at school, but it only works for a little while, and then his bad temper comes back when he gets home from school. One time, I heard Mommy and Daddy fighting about the temper medicine, because Daddy said Andy should take some in the afternoons so he behaves better at home, too. But Mommy said no, she wasn't going to give him more. It wasn't good for him, only before parties or special occasions where he has to behave good. After a while, I looked up at the top bunk. No Andy. I knew Andy wasn't there, but I said his name into his empty room anyway. Andy. There was no one there to hear it. It was like Andy's room swallowed up his name, and then it was gone. Like him. I went out of his room fast and downstairs. I could hear voices and sounds coming from the kitchen. Maybe Mommy was back from the hospital. But when I walked in the kitchen, Daddy was there, and Grandma and Aunt Mary, not Mommy. Daddy was sitting on the same bar stool where he ate his cereal last night, and he was still wearing his work clothes from yesterday. Except for the suit jacket. Everything looked all wrinkly, and his beard was starting to grow. Daddy's beard grows really fast, so he has to shave every day or he starts to look like Uncle Chip when he was still alive. Uncle Chip always let his beard grow, and it tickled me when he gave me a hug and a kiss, and sometimes food got stuck in it, and that was gross. So I'm glad Daddy always shaves. Just today he didn't. His face looked all whitish where the beard wasn't growing. Like Mommy's face yesterday at the hospital, and his eyes were dark all around. Maybe he didn't sleep last night, even though he said it would be the best thing for us. The clock on the microwave said 8:10, and that meant I missed the school bus because it comes at 7:55 every day. So Daddy was going to have to drive me to school then, probably. When I thought about McKinley, I thought about the pop sounds again. And the people lying in the hallway. And the big scared feeling from last night came right back. I didn't want to go back there. What if Andy was still there? Then I was going to see him dead with blood on him. Grandma was sitting next to Daddy on a bar stool, talking on the phone. She sat with her back very straight. She always sits like that, and sometimes she sticks her finger into mine and Andy's backs, so we will sit up more straight, too. And she even does it to Daddy sometimes. Grandma didn't look like her normal self, and it was because she didn't have on her red lipstick. I don't like her lipstick, because when she gives me kisses, it leaves red lip stamps on my face. I never saw her without it on before. It made her look different, like older. She looked a little bit more like Mimi now, who is really old. She has white hair, and Grandma's hair is blonde. Also, Mimi never wears lipstick. When Mimi smiles or laughs, her whole face gets wrinkles on it, especially around her eyes and her mouth. Grandma doesn't have those. Her face stays the same when she smiles. Grandma's lips shivered in between saying words into the phone. Aunt Mary was standing next to her with her hand on top of Grandma's hand on the counter, and a lot of tears were running down her face. "Daddy?" I said, and all at the same time, Daddy, Grandma, and Aunt Mary lifted their heads up and looked at where I was standing by the door. "Oh, my goodness. Let me call you back," Grandma said into the phone, and she put it down on the counter. Then she walked over to me, and I could see her lips were shivering even more now. "Oh, Zach," she said, and she leaned down to me, and her breath smelled bad, like old. She gave me a hug, and it was a little too hard and too tight. I moved my head to the side so I didn't have to smell her breath anymore. I saw Daddy and Aunt Mary were looking at me. Aunt Mary had her one hand over her mouth, and she made her forehead all wrinkly, and more tears were running down her face. When Grandma's tight hug was done, Aunt Mary opened her arms wide and I walked to her fast. Aunt Mary's hug was soft and warm. I could feel her whole body shaking from crying, and I could feel her warm breath on the top of my head. "Hey, monkey," she said into my hair. We just stayed like that for a long time until I felt Daddy's hand rubbing my back. "Hey, Zach," Daddy said, and then Aunt Mary stopped hugging me. "I'm glad you got some sleep." "Daddy, I'm late for school, right?" I said. "I don't want to go today. I don't want to go there today." "Oh, no, you're not going to school today," Daddy answered, and he pulled me close to him and up on his lap. Not for a while. From where I was sitting on Daddy's lap, I could see the TV was on in the family room. It was the news about how the gunman came to McKinley, but I couldn't hear what they were saying because the sound was turned all the way down like at the hospital. I didn't know why people put the TV on with no sound. After Grandma made me breakfast, people started coming in our house, and all day long more and more people came. They made a big pile of wet shoes and umbrellas in the hallway, and the alarm box in the kitchen kept saying, "Front door," in the lady robot voice so you can know someone was leaving or coming in, even if you can't see the door. Everyone brought food, and Grandma and Aunt Mary tried to fit all the containers and bowls in the fridge in the kitchen and the one in the basement. And they put some food out for people to eat, but no one ate anything. Grandma made Daddy go upstairs to clean up, and when he came back down, his hair was wet, but he still didn't shave. Daddy walked around and talked to all the people, and it looked like we were having a party. We have parties a lot at our house, and sometimes people from Daddy's work come, from his office and his clients sometimes. Daddy always wants me and Andy to stand by the door to say hi to the party guests and do handshakes. Handshakes are very important for when you're older. Your hand can't be too loose because that's wimpy, but you also can't squeeze too hard. The handshake has to be just in the middle. It's called firm, and you have to look the other person right in the eye and say, "Nice to meet you." Sometimes I practice by myself in my room before parties, so I do it right. I thought it was weird we were having a party today, because Andy died, and Mommy was at the hospital because of the shock, and that's not a good time for a party. But more people kept coming in, all standing and sitting down in the kitchen and family room and living room. There were no kids except me, only grown-ups, and it was like I didn't even belong in the party. I stayed close to Daddy the whole time. I wanted to talk to him and ask him when Mommy was coming home. And could we go see her at the hospital? But Daddy didn't have time because he had to talk to the other grown-ups and do handshakes. I'm so sorry for your loss. Our deepest condolences. I just can't believe something like this could happen in Wake Gardens, the people said. Daddy had a little smile on his face. Not a happy smile, but one that looked like he put it on his face on purpose and then left it there and it never went away. Some of the people, some I knew and some I never saw before, gave me hugs or patted me on the head. And I didn't want that, to get hugs like that from everyone. In the afternoon, one of the people who came to the party was Miss Russell. I was just coming out of the living room, still following Daddy, when I saw her walk in the front door. She looked smaller or something, and like she was cold. She was giving herself a hug with her arms. She blinked her eyes fast a few times when she looked around in the hallway. Her face looked very white, and she had dark all around her eyes. When she saw me standing behind Daddy, she stopped blinking her eyes and gave me a little smile. She came over to us and said, "Hi, Zach," in a very quiet voice. Daddy looked at her and reached out his hand. "Hello," he said, and Miss Russell took his hand and shook it slowly. "Nadia Russell," she said. "I'm Zach's teacher." "Oh, right. I'm sorry, of course," Daddy said. "I'm so very sorry about Andy," Miss Russell said, and her voice sounded like it got stuck in her throat a couple of times. "Thank you," Daddy said. "Oh, and thank you very much for keeping Zach safe yesterday. I'm very grateful." Miss Russell didn't say anything back. She just shook her head yes. Then she looked around Daddy at me. "Hey, Zach." She did a little smile again. "I'm not staying long, but I wanted to give you this. You can keep it, okay? Maybe you'll like having it." Miss Russell took my hand and dropped something inside. It was one of her favorite charms from her charm bracelet. She showed it to us a lot of times. It was a silver angel wing with a heart on it. She told us that her grandma gave it to her, and it meant love and protection, and it was very special to her because now her grandma wasn't alive anymore. "Thank you," I said, and my words came out like a whisper. After Miss Russell left, I walked around with Daddy for a little while longer, but then I felt like I wanted to take a break from walking around, so I sat down on the yellow chair in the corner of the family room. The yellow chair is kind of behind the couch, and the people in the family room were all looking at the TV and talking in quiet voices, so no one knew I was there. The sound on the TV was still turned all the way down. First it was commercials, but then the news came back on, and it was still about McKinley. A lady with a microphone was standing in front of McKinley next to the sign that says McKinley Elementary. I could see it said Wednesday, October 6th on it, and that was yesterday, so Charlie forgot to put the date on today, which is his job first thing in the morning before school starts. Behind the news lady were some police cars, but no more fire trucks and ambulances. There were a lot of the vans with the standing-up bulls on the roofs, like I saw in front of the church. I could tell the lady started to talk in the microphone because her lips were moving, but in the family room it was just lips moving with no sounds coming out in a very quiet room. I really wanted to hear what she was saying and if she was talking about the gunman, but I didn't want people to know I was behind them on the yellow chair, so I stayed quiet and watched the lady's lips move. Pictures of people came on the TV, and over the pictures it said, 19 confirmed dead. And then the pictures got big on the screen, one at a time, and stayed big for a little while, and then the picture went back to small. The next picture got big, and then the next. I realized it was pictures of people who got killed from the gunman. I know who all the people were in the pictures, some kids from 4th and 5th grade. And it looked like the pictures of them were from Field Day, because they all had on McKinley Field Day t-shirts. And there were pictures of some grown-ups from school, too. Mrs. Kolaris, our principal, Mrs. Vanessa, Andy's teacher, Mr. Wilson, our gym teacher, and Mr. Hernandez, the custodian. I knew all the people in the pictures, and yesterday I saw some of them at school. Now they were dead. In the pictures, they looked like they always look at school, and I thought that now they didn't look like that anymore. Now they were lying in the hallway with blood on them. The next picture that got big was Ricky, so that meant he was dead, too. I wondered if Ricky's mom knew that Ricky was dead, or if she was still at the hospital waiting in the waiting room. And then I remembered that Daddy told her we were going to check if Ricky was there when we went through the no-entry door to see Mommy. But we never did that, and that wasn't very nice of us. After Ricky came Andy. He looked sweaty and was bending his knees like he was getting ready to jump. His blonde hair was sticking up in the front from the sweat, and he was making a silly face with his tongue out of the side of his mouth. Andy always makes silly faces in pictures, and Mommy gets mad because we don't have a single good picture of our family where everyone smiles and we can hang it up on the wall. I stared at Andy's silly face. It looked like he was going to jump out of the TV right into the family room, and I held in my breath and wanted him to jump, but then his picture got small and disappeared. Another picture got big, and Andy's silly face was gone. 11. Secret Hideout. I turned around in the yellow chair and saw Daddy sitting in the kitchen. I went to him and tried to swallow the lump of breath in my throat. I swallowed and swallowed, and my mouth got really dry, but the lump didn't move. I tried to get on Daddy's lap, but Daddy was looking at his phone, not me. He only let me sit on one leg, and it wasn't comfortable. I tried to sit all the way on Daddy's lap, but he said, "Buddy, give me a second to breathe, okay?" And he pushed me off. Grandma came over, and the red lipstick was back on her lips. "Zach, Daddy's very tired. Let's give him a break," she said to me. Then Mrs. Gray, our neighbor, came in the kitchen and said, "Oh my God, Jim, I'm so sorry for your loss." And Daddy got up to talk to her, so his second to breathe must have been over. I had to walk some steps backward because Daddy's bar stool pushed into me. I started not to like how Daddy's face looked with the smile-not smile that was back on it, so I left the kitchen and went upstairs. The party sounds followed me upstairs like they were taking a piggyback ride on my back. And they were getting louder. It was all I could hear, even though I was walking away from the party. I walked faster down the hallway and shook my head to get the sounds out. I wanted to get to my room and leave the sounds outside, but when I passed Andy's room, I had to stop and look inside. It was like there was an invisible force pulling me in. Right away, my eyes went up to Andy's empty top bunk. I always want to be in Andy's room and see his things and hang out with him, but Andy never lets me. He would probably be really mad at me for being in here now. I pretended like I was a spy, scouting out the enemy, looking all around, touching the enemy's things, opening drawers and doors, and looking for clues. I touched the robot arm on Andy's desk and pretended it was the enemy's weapon and I had to figure out how to use it. Andy got the robot arm from Mimi for Christmas, and that wasn't fair because she gave me Hungry Hungry Hippos, and that's a baby game. I wanted something cool to build like Andy. It looks like a real robot arm and has a motor and batteries. You can make the arm move up and down, and the claw can pick things up. It's so cool. I asked Andy if I could try, but of course it was a no. Andy built it all by himself. No grown-up helped him, even though the box said 12 and up, and he was only 9 then. I heard Mimi talk about it to Mommy in the kitchen. Andy's so incredibly smart. Too smart for his own good. People say that all the time about Andy. He's so smart, and I've never met such a smart kid. And it's the truth, he really is smart. Like, more smart than other people. He did a test once that showed that. He just doesn't feel like doing his work, and he doesn't want to sit in one place for a long time. He went to a special class for smart kids when we still lived in the city, where they did third grade work in first grade. But at McKinley, they don't have a special class like that, so Andy hates school now because it's boring for him. Andy read all the Harry Potter books in first grade. Daddy always tells that to everyone, and I can tell he's really proud about that. I tried to read the first Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, because I'm also in first grade now, and I wanted Daddy to tell proud stories about me too. But the book had a scary picture on the front, and a lot of hard words. Andy made fun of me because it took me like half an hour to read 2 pages, so I stopped. I found the on switch on the robot arm and flipped it up. I tried to get the claw to pick up a pencil from Andy's desk, but it was hard, and the claw kept dropping the pencil. Then I thought I heard a sound on the stairs like someone was coming up, so I turned it off really fast. If Daddy was coming up, he would probably get mad at me because I was in Andy's room touching his stuff. I saw Andy's closet door was open, so I went inside and pulled the door closed, but not all the way. I almost couldn't hear the party sounds in the closet. Andy's closet is really big. Such a waste for a boy, Mommy says. Andy didn't put his clothes away. There was a big, messy pile of clothes on the floor behind the hamper. I put the clothes in the hamper and walked all the way in, behind the handsome shirts and the jackets that were hanging up, and there was a whole space in the back. It was dark back here, but I could see Andy's sleeping bag rolled up in the corner of the closet. And I sat down on it. I sat really still, and my heart was beating at super speed, and I was waiting to see if Daddy was going to find me, but nothing happened. I sat on the sleeping bag roll, and then I thought about how yesterday I was in the closet in my classroom. So now it was 2 days in a row that I was sitting in a closet. I never sat in a closet before today and yesterday, because closets are not for hanging out. They're for putting stuff away. And there's not a lot of space in closets, which I don't like. I get scared in smushy places. Sometimes Andy puts a blanket over my head, only because he knows how much I hate that. He holds it tight and laughs when I start feeling scared and try to get him off me. But he's too strong. And on elevators, Andy always makes jokes like, "Hey, scaredy cat, I know this one's going to get stuck. We will be stuck in here for, like, days with nothing to eat, and we'll have to go to the bathroom right in here." He keeps talking like that until Mommy tells him to stop, and then he makes faces like he's dying behind her back. Daddy got stuck on the elevator at his office once, and he wasn't scared, but other people next to him were. Daddy said it was funny because they were only stuck for a few minutes, so what did they even get scared about? But I don't think that's funny. I would get scared, too. Andy calls me a scaredy cat all the time, and he's actually a little right about that. I get scared a lot about different things, especially at bedtime or in the middle of the night. It's stupid that it's like that. Sometimes I wish I could be more brave like Andy and Daddy. They're never scared of anything. When I started thinking about what happened yesterday when the gunman came, I wanted to get up and get out of the closet, because my body started to feel exactly the same as yesterday, with my heart beating fast. I was breathing too fast, and it made me dizzy. But I couldn't get up for some reason. It was like my body was all hard and frozen from being so scared. I wish Daddy would come and open the closet door and find me. And that was the same as yesterday, too, when I was wishing that Daddy would come. But Daddy and nobody else came, and I kept sitting there with my frozen body listening for sounds. But it stayed very quiet. I put my hand in the pocket of my pants and took out the angel wing charm Miss Russell gave me, and I rubbed it in between my fingers. Love and protection, I thought in my head. I started to feel better. My heart started to slow down and my breathing calmed down. No one is coming, I whispered. And it was strange that I was talking to myself and no one was here to hear it, not even Clancy. But it also felt good. Like one part of me was talking to another part of me, and it helped me calm down. So I kept whispering, "There's nothing even scary in here. It's just Andy's closet, and it's not really that tight in here." I unrolled Andy's sleeping bag and spread it out, and sat on it crisscross applesauce. I looked around, and it was hard to see in the dark. There were only a lot of dusty, fluffy things in the corners, and some of Andy's socks, but nothing else. It was like a secret space in the house that no one knew about except me. "Secret hideout," I whispered into the closet. "This is going to be my top secret hideout." I started to like sitting in the quiet and listening to my breathing. In, air up my nose. Out, through my mouth with a puff. In, out. Slow now, because I wasn't really that scared anymore. When I let myself think about yesterday, the scared feeling came back. So I tried not to let those thoughts float around in my brain anymore. "Get out of my brain, bad thoughts!" I pretended like there was a safe in the back of my head, like the one Daddy has in his office where he keeps important papers so no one can steal them. And I pushed the bad thoughts into my brain safe. "Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket." I liked that I was in here and no one in the party knew where I was. I could come in here all the time now because Andy wasn't here anymore, and he couldn't yell at me anymore and tell me to get out. I started to think about how it was going to be without Andy. It was going to be better at home. There wouldn't be any more fighting, and I was going to be the only child in the family, so Mommy and Daddy could do a lot more stuff with just me. Like, they could both come to my piano recitals, and they could both stay for the whole time. That never happened before, because of Andy. At the spring recital, Daddy couldn't come because Andy had lacrosse practice, and at the summer one, right before school started, the whole family did come, Mommy, Daddy, and Andy. But before it was even my turn to play my song, Fur-a-Lise, Mommy had to get up and leave with Andy because he was behaving bad. After a while, I had to pee, so I came back out of the closet and I went in the bathroom. Next, I went into my room because I wanted to look for stuff to bring in my new hideout. "I was looking for you, Zach." I jumped, because I didn't see Grandma standing in the door of my room, and she surprised me. I didn't want Grandma to know about the hideout, so I made up a lie. "I was looking for my dump truck in Andy's room." "I made you some dinner, okay, darling? Can you come downstairs?" "Is the party done?" I asked. "The party?" "It wasn't a..." "Everyone went home, yes," Grandma said, and she looked at me funny. "Is Mommy coming home for dinner?" If it was dinner time, then Mommy stayed at the hospital a whole night last night, and today all day, and that's a long time just to sleep. "No," Grandma said. "She's not coming home yet. Maybe tomorrow, but I'll eat with you, all right?" It wasn't all right. Daddy promised me yesterday that today we were going to see Mommy at the hospital, but we didn't because of the party, so Daddy said a lie, too. 12. Do souls have faces? After dinner was done, Grandma made me take a shower. Then she tucked me in for bedtime, and I was allowed to sleep in Daddy's bed again. I asked her about school. "Am I the only one who's staying home from school because of what happened to Andy?" Grandma was sitting on the side of the bed with her straight back. She wiped the hair on my forehead to the side. "No, darling," she said. "All the children are staying home. A terrible, terrible thing happened at your school yesterday. I imagine it will be a while until the school reopens. People will need time to heal." "Grandma?" "Yes, darling." "Is Andy still there, at the school?" I kept thinking about how Andy was lying there in the school, all by himself except for the other dead people. I was trying not to think about it all day, but now it was bedtime, and at bedtime it's harder to stop thinking about stuff. Maybe because all you do is lie there, so all you can do is think. Grandma made a sound like a cough with her throat, like something was stuck in it and she was trying to get it out. "Andy is not at the school anymore," she said, and she made the coughing sound a few more times. "Andy is up in heaven now with God. God is going to take care of him for us now." "But how did he get up to heaven from the school? Did he get, like, zoomed up there?" Grandma did a little smile with her red lipstick lips. "No, his body doesn't go up to heaven. Only his soul, remember?" I remembered that Mommy told me about that when Uncle Chip died. The body is still here on Earth, but that's not the real person anymore. So it's okay that the body gets put in a casket and buried in a grave, because the important part of the person that is called the soul goes up to heaven. It goes up there right after you die. I wondered if all the souls of the people who died from the gunman went flying up when I was still in the school, hiding in the closet, and if someone saw them, maybe the gunman. I don't know what a soul looks like. Mommy said it's all your feelings and thoughts and memories, and I thought maybe it looks like a bird, or something with wings, like the wing on the charm Miss Russell gave me. I wondered if your soul still has your face when it goes up to heaven, because otherwise, how do the people who love you, who are already in heaven, know it's your soul and find you so you're not lonely and you can be together? After Grandma said goodnight and left Mommy and Daddy's room, I tried to think about Andy's soul up in heaven together with Uncle Chip's soul, but my brain kept switching to Andy's body in the school, and the blood in the hallway and on the walls, and I couldn't get the bad thoughts to go into the brain safe. Maybe the brain safe only worked in the hideout. I took